Most Christians, if we wanted to, have a lot to boast about, don't we? We could go around and we could tell individuals, we are priests of the Most High God, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. We could tell individuals that we are kings of Jesus Christ and ruling and reigning in His kingdom even at this present time, Revelation 1, verse 6. We could boast of the fact that you and I are living stones in the temple of the Most High, according to 1 Peter 2, verse 5. Another thing that you and I could boast about, however, is that you and I are Olympians in the Olympic Games. Not the physical Olympics, but the spiritual Olympics. Oftentimes, the Apostle Paul made a comparison between those Olympic Games of his day and the Christian life that he was encouraging individuals to take place in the first century. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, Paul says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all? That they, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible." Folks, he's talking about the Christian, he's talking about the Olympic races of his day. He's talking about how those individuals trained and how those individuals participated therein. And he talked about how they were looking forward to a prize. And he takes all of that and he's comparing it to the Christian life. And over the course of three lessons, you and I have been talking about being an Olympian. Today we're going to finish that particular study. And we're going to be talking about four things that can be compared with the Christian life and the Olympics. Point number one. My friends, being an Olympian is tough work. I don't think that any of us can truly appreciate the tough work through which the Olympians go in order to participate in those games. Folks, I can't imagine dedicating 10 or 15 or 20 years of my life to one particular sporting event. Can you? Every day that I get up, that is the only thing that is on my mind. I get up, I eat breakfast, and immediately I go into training, do I not? And I may train for 4 or 5 hours in just my event alone. Over and over and over, practicing moves, practicing maneuvers, pushing my body to its very limit. And after I finish there, I might have to enter into the gym for a couple of hours in order to do strength training. From there, you go into cardio in order to get endurance training. Occasionally, you find your body's not acting the way it needs to act. Maybe you're hurt. Maybe you sprained a ligament. Maybe you've torn something. Maybe you've even broke something. And now you enter into rehab. And over, constantly, there's this training and rehab and therapy every day of your life. Folks, you cry, you sweat, you bleed. You cry again. You reach a limit where you say, I just want to stop. But you know you can't. Every day of your life to go to the Olympics in order to gain a medal. Folks, it's tough work. But did you know Christianity is tough work as well? Our Lord and Savior didn't lie to us. He says this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way which leadeth unto destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Jesus said that this gate that he wants us to enter is a straight gate. You look up the word straight in both Strong's, and Thayer defines it exactly the same. It is defined as a narrow gate. What Jesus is meaning is this. I want you to enter in at that gate that is difficult. I want you to enter in through that gate that takes much effort, strenuous effort, in order to get through it. We used to take young people on hiking trips when I was at the children's home. And on those hiking trips, sometimes we went into caves, and there was one called Willis Cave. You enter into that cave, and you put your legs on one wall, and you put your back on the other wall, and you scooted around for about a tenth of a mile with about a 20-foot drop between your legs. And out at the bottom of that was nothing but water, so you sure didn't fall. We go through that cave a little bit. We go in about a quarter of a mile, and all of a sudden, we came upon this place that we referred to as Fat Man Squeeze. Folks, it was a skinny man's squeeze. If you had a helmet on, you couldn't hardly get through that little hole. One leg was dangling, one leg in behind, and you just scooted through there. We had a big counselor on our staff. We almost had to grease that boy to get him through that hole. Folks, it was a tough hole to get through. When he got to the other side, he dreaded coming back out. And when he got out on this side, he says, "Man, I got to go on a diet." Folks, it was a tough hole. He'd just be sweating, dripping with sweat when he got through. It was tough work. And Jesus says that is exactly what Christianity is. Folks, I can name numerous things that you and I must involve ourselves in that involve tough work. You know that? Study is tough work. You take my How to Study the Bible class, and I teach you how to do verse-by-verse study. And you pick a book of the Bible. I don't care whether it's a one-chapter book, a four-chapter book, six-chapter book, 13-chapter book, 22-chapter book. It doesn't matter. If you engage in that study, and you do the things that I ask you to do, it is going to be a rigorous study, folks. It's going to be boring. It's going to be monotonous. It's going to be tiring. It's going to be repetitive. It's going to drag out for a long, long period of time. And most individuals will not do it. It's just that simple. And folks, that's why ignorance runs rampant in the brotherhood today. Individuals don't study the Word of God. Oh, they read a little bit here, they read a little bit there, they read an article here, they read an article there, they come for a 40-minute Bible class a couple of times a week, they get a 30-minute lesson here and there, but we are not students of the book. Why? Because it is hard work, folks. What about personal work? Is it hard work? You bet it is. Folks, that's some of the toughest work that you can involve yourself in. Trying to get a study, conduct the study, convince that individual of what is truth, of what is right. Trying to exhort that individual to do what he needs to do to become right in the sight of God. And then to try to encourage that individual to remain faithful unto the Almighty God. Folks, that is work. Question, is it hard to resist temptation? I'm telling you what, there are some sins that are difficult for individuals to resist, are they not? And all of us fight our battles, don't we? All of us have those areas wherein we resist and we resist and we resist, and we know it's tough work. Recently, we've been opposing some ungodly forces right here in Atlantic Beach, haven't we? Those individuals who are homosexuals, those individuals who are lesbians, transgender, they're fighting for their rights here in Atlantic Beach. And they're wanting us just to offer almost total acceptance of those individuals, regardless of the consequences that may fall upon businesses and religious establishments. And folks, we have to go over there and talk to those individuals. You have to spend week after week after week going. We've got another meeting coming up before long. You sit there for 2 or 3 hours. Sometimes you don't get to talk to anybody. Folks, it's tough work opposing things that are ungodly. Is it tough being faithful? Folks, that's tough, is it not? Especially when you're facing adversity in your life, hardships in your life, struggles and difficulties enter into the church, and yet you still have to try to be
faithful unto the Almighty God. Folks, there are areas of Christianity that are tough work. It's true of the Olympics, and it's true of the Christian life as well. And we don't need to lie to individuals about it, do we? It is tough. Point number two. The only way for an Olympian to win is to finish the event. Have you ever really gone and looked at what those individuals have to go through in order to win a medal? Take, for instance, our hockey team. They have to win at least 4 1-hour games to win a medal in one Olympics. Now, folks, that has nothing to do with all the qualifying events that they have to take place in for 4 years in a row. I'm talking about just at the Olympics, 4 1-hour games of total brutality, isn't it, in order to win a gold medal. If an individual wants to win a gold medal, be the all-around Olympic gymnast, they have to participate in all four of the Olympic events. Floor exercise, beam, vault, and uneven parallel bars. You've got to do every one of them. You can't do two, you can't do three, you've got to do all four to complete perfection. In order to win, you've got to finish, folks. The year was 1996. The Summer Olympic Games. Our gymnasts were there. They were participating in the team event. In order to win, they needed to win the vault. And there was a little girl there that they believed could win on this particular occasion. She runs as fast as she can run. She hits that springboard, hits the vault, lands, and falls down. All you hear in the crowd is, ooh. She has another chance, though. She walks to the back, gets to the line, she takes off running, hits the springboard, hits the vault, does her flip, lands on the mat, and her feet come out from under her again. She was the darling, folks. She was the one who was supposed to win this event for the United States. There was one girl left. A girl by the name of Carrie Strug. Carrie gets to the line. She runs. She hits the springboard. Hits the vault. Over it she goes. She lands. And she hits the mat. Something is wrong with her ankle. She has badly destroyed joints and ligaments in that ankle. She's got one more opportunity. And folks, pain is rushing through her ankle and through her leg. What's she supposed to do? Coach, it's over. Coach, it's done. I can't do this. I'm in too much pain. My ankle won't stand another vault. Let's just give up. Let's just quit. Set me on the sideline. Send me to the hospital. Do whatever you've got to do. I can't do this. No. Carrie walks back to the line. She's got one more vault. She takes off running as hard as she can on that hurt ankle. She hits the springboard, hits the vault, over it she goes, and lands a perfect landing and crawls, literally crawls off the mat, folks. You want to see it, go to YouTube and type in Carrie, K-E-R-R-I, Strug, S-T-R-U-G-G, and you watch that 4-minute video, folks. And you watch the pain, and you watch the agony through which she goes as she lands that final jump and wins the gold medal for the United States of America. Her coach carries her to the gold medal platform after it's all over. And she stands up there dressed differently than all the other athletes because of the injury and the wrap on her ankle. But she refused to quit. If I stop, we can't win. If I sit down, there's no gold medal. I will not stop. I must finish. And she did. My friends, you and I as Christians, if we want to win, if we want a reward in the hereafter, we cannot stop. You've got to finish the race if you want a reward. Jesus said in Matthew 24:13, "But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." Folks, you've got to endure to the very end. Paul writes in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 14, "But if we hold the beginning of our confidence firm unto the end, we shall be made partakers of Jesus Christ." Folks, whatever you started with, whatever faith, whatever obedience you started with, you've got to hold that firm all the way to the end if you expect to be a partaker of Christ. Paul writes in Romans chapter 2, verse 7, "But unto them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life." Paul says there's got to be a patient continuance in well-doing. You've got to constantly seek for glory and honor and immortality. And if you do, and only if you do, will there ever be eternal life given unto you. And so sadly, I see my brothers and sisters in Christ just quit. Just quit. Folks, if you quit, you can't win. If you quit, there's no medal. If you quit, there's no reward. If you quit, there's no crown. And I'm amazed, simply amazed, at the reasons some of my brothers and sisters in Christ quit. Somebody down there hurt my feelings. Well, you poor little thing. You know, my mom and daddy, when I grew up in my house, hurt my feelings a lot. I didn't leave the house. I knew better. Folks, there's going to be times somebody says something to you, and they may offend you. Guess what? That's not a reason to quit, is it? Well, Vic, you just don't understand all that's going on in my life right now. Maybe you don't understand what's going on in mine. You know that? Have you even asked? You see, there's a lot of times individuals have no clue what's going on in other people's lives. They're so focused on themselves. And guess what, folks? There's some individuals going through some rough, tough, nasty things. And guess what? They are faithful unto their God. How do I know that? Because of the story of Job. That man went through some tough times. And guess what? He did not sin against his God. Never. Folks, we got to stay faithful. Individuals say something like this, "Well, you know what? I just don't believe that stuff down there anymore." Really? What is it that we teach that you don't believe anymore? Is there something that we're teaching that's error? Is there something that we're teaching that goes against the truth of the gospel of Christ? Folks, if it is, then guess what? I want to know about it, don't you? I don't want to teach error. I want to teach truth. Only truth sets man free. John 8, verse 32. You got a problem with something, you need to stop and you need to ask somebody and talk about it. I just don't believe that anymore. Folks, you better believe the Bible if you want to be saved. It's just that simple. There's all kinds of excuses we can give as to why we need to quit. But folks, if you quit, guess what? You can't win. Listen to what Paul says again in 1 Corinthians 9:24. "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all?" Folks, you've got to run all if you want to win. Point number 3. Olympians oftentimes become examples to other people, don't they? The other day I just went on the internet and I just typed in Olympic examples. And a list popped up and it said top 10 Olympic examples. I knew a bunch of those folks, you know it. Mary Lou Retton, heard of her. Most individuals just shake their head, especially if you're older. Some young people may not. Mary Lou Retton. Folks, she was a champion gymnast. Did you know that? She stopped a streak that the Russians had won for 20 plus years. What a gymnast. Little bitty short girl. Carl Lewis. Mark Spitz. Dorothy Hamill. Scott Hamilton. And more recently, a little girl by the name of Gabrielle took the Olympics by storm, folks. Examples. If you don't believe that, just walk into an Olympic training center where there's some gymnasts there and mention Mary Lou Retton. Just mention Carl Lewis to a track star. Just mention Mark Spitz. 7 medals, 1 Olympics. 7 gold, 1 Olympics. Folks, those individuals are well known. There are young athletes right now who are training with everything they've got in order to be just like those people. They're my example. They're my model. They're my star. They're the ones that I'm trying to be exactly like. Guess what? Most likely, every individual in here has somebody watching them as a Christian. Did you know that? Somebody's watching. Oh, I may be aware of it, or I may not be aware of it. Husbands watch wives. Wives watch husbands. Children watch mom and dad. Mom and dad watch children. And that's true even after children leave the house, folks. I'm gone from mom and daddy. I can do what I want to. Yeah, you can. But guess what? Mom and daddy's still watching you. Mom and daddy still have high hopes for you. Mom and daddy still have expectations that they desire out of you. Did you know that? They may not talk to you much about it, but it's true. They're watching. You may have coworkers that you're working with that you have no clue. They're watching you because you say you're a Christian. Neighbors, school associates, folks, you have no clue. And Paul says this, "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Folks, we're Christian Olympians. You and I are running a race. You and I are striving for the reward, are we not? And there are individuals who are watching us as we do that, and they are patterning their lives after us. Have there ever been Olympians who have fallen from their glory? Oh, yeah. Guy by the name of Paul Hamm, Olympic gold medalist. A few years after his winning that gold medal, whooped up on a cab driver. Got convicted for battery. A woman by the name of Marion Jones, a track star that set all kinds of records, unbelievable sprinting abilities, just all around, wonderful athlete, convicted of performance-enhancing drugs, money laundering, and writing of bad checks. Carl Lewis, wonderful athlete, folks. Won many, many medals in track and field. And yet, he too was convicted of performance-enhancing drugs. Here you are, a young athlete. Here's the individual that you're patterning your life after. And all of a sudden, guess what? They blow it, don't they? Does that have repercussions? Does it have consequences? Does it affect others? You bet it does. When you don't live your life the way God wants you to live your life, folks, it has consequences on other individuals because they're watching your example. You want to know what the least consequence is we disappoint a lot of people. You know what? I know that. I've been victim of that myself. You know what? Been a person who's disappointed people, folks. It's not good, is it? They've held you up here on high esteem, put you on a platform, on a pedestal, and all of a sudden, guess what? You ain't what they thought you were. Disappointment. Some individuals will see us, they've been working to be like us, and all of a sudden we're not what we should be, and guess what? They just quit. If that's the way it is, if they're no better than that, then guess what? I'm not going to try either. And so they just quit. Folks, there's been many young athletes who've quit because their star fell from his glory. Did you know that? But as far as Christians are concerned, the worst thing that could happen is this. The name of God is blasphemed because of our ungodly living. Because of our not living the way we ought to live. The Jews, the people of God, were they not? Had been given the covenants, brought into a covenant relationship through circumcision. Had been given the law. And yet there were individuals who didn't live the way they ought to before the Gentiles. And Paul says in Romans 2:24, the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you. Folks, because I don't live the way I need to live, I can negatively impact other individuals. We are examples to others, just like those star athletes are examples to the world with regard to athletic ability. Lastly, for those individuals who run a race, run all, and are the very best in their sport, guess what? There is reward, isn't there? 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25 says this, know ye not? No, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Listen to him. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. I looked up that little word crown, and guess what? It's the Greek word stephanos. There were two or three different kinds of crowns in the Greek language. Stephanos. Folks, that is the most glorious crown that an individual can wear. It is a crown that marks one of esteemed rank. It is a crown that outshines all other crowns. It is a crown that is elaborate. It is a crown that is conspicuous. It is a crown that stands out above all the other crowns. When individuals see it, they say, my, what a great person you must be. And it was what the Olympic racers ran to gain. Now listen to Paul. He says, now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I buy Kathleen flowers sometime. They say they'll last 7 to 10 days. Sometime they do. But after that 10th day, it's over. Get that 13th, 14th day, them some nasty looking flowers. Aren't they? Now can you imagine running in Paul's day? They go out there and they get that greenery and they make it into this elaborate crown to place upon your head, and you're just tickled to death, aren't you? I'm the winner. I'm the victor. I've got the victory crown. And they put it on your head and you wear that thing. 5 days, 10 days. You sleep with it. You won't take it off. And all of a sudden, guess what? That thing starts turning brown, starts wilting, starts getting a little moldy, stinky. Finally, Mama says, you got to take that nasty thing off. Folks, those were corruptible crowns. Guess what? Our crown is incorruptible. It will not decay. It will not perish. It will always be there. Never suffer mold. Never be destroyed. never be lost. It will always be there. It's described in a lot of other ways as well, isn't it? Paul refers to it as a crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. It's referred to as a crown of life, James 1, verse 12. It's referred to as a crown of glory, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4. Now, folks, here's a distinction. I train for the Olympics, and I put in everything I've got. And I run my race. And others are running the same race, are they not? I can look about me. Sometime they're ahead, sometime they're behind. And I want to be what? I want to be number one, don't I? Because why? Only one receives the prize. Folks, there's only one gold medal, isn't there? There's only one top dog when it comes to the Olympics. But guess what? Not when it comes to the Christian Olympics. You enter, you run according to the rules, you run to the finish, and guess what? There is a crown waiting for you. Isn't there? Big difference. Matthew chapter 20, Jesus tells the story of laborers into a vineyard. He hired some very early in the morning. He hired some at the ninth hour, some at the 12th hour, some at the 6th hour. And then he went out at the 11th hour and hired some more. It gets to the end of the day, it's time to pay up, and guess what? Everybody got a penny. You see, everybody gets a reward. Matthew the 25th chapter, Jesus tells the story of a 5, 2, and 1 talent man. Different talents, different abilities, different amounts of monies given to them. Different amounts of responsibility that is bestowed upon them. But guess what? All those who stayed faithful heard the same words, didn't they? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Folks, not just one is going to win the prize in the last day. You know that? You know what Paul said in 2 Timothy? There is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Listen to this. And not unto me only. Folks, if there were a star Christian, guess who it was? It was Paul, wasn't it? If there's one going to receive the crown, it's going to be the Apostle Paul, isn't it? But listen to what he says. It's not unto me only, but unto all them also which love his appearing. There's not a person in this audience, not a person in this audience who cannot receive the crown. Let's go back to 1996 for just a moment. Carrie Strug. On that first vault, she knew, I've messed up my ankle. Something fierce. She's walking by her coach. And her coach wants to encourage her. And Carrie says, I can't believe what he said to me. Here I am, hurt beyond measure, needing to run one more time, and the only thing he can say to me is this, you can do it. She said, in my mind, I thought, is that all you got? You can do it. You watch the video, folks, and guess what? He says it over and over and over. If he said it once, he said it 10 times. Carrie, you can do it. Carrie, you can do it. Carrie, you can do it. And she says, now, looking back, I understand what he was telling me. She said, those are the very words he said constantly in the gym to us. We'd mess up. We'd get hurt. We'd be discouraged. And he said he'd look us straight in the eye. And all he would say is, you can do it. And folks, guess what? She did it, didn't she? In the pages of God's Word, Paul gives us many words of encouragement. You know that? So run that ye may obtain. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3, verse 14. Henceforth there is a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Folks, we need to pick up our Bibles sometime, and we just need to read those exhortations over and over and over, don't we? So run that you may attain. Run with patience the race that is set before you. Press toward the mark. There is a crown waiting you in the last day. Folks, if that doesn't encourage you, I can't encourage you. You know that? But you've got to finish. And not only do you have to finish, you've got to start, don't you? Maybe you've not started the Christian race and you need to do that today. You've never obeyed the gospel of Christ. All we ask that you do is what those individuals did on the day of Pentecost when the gospel was preached for the first time. They cried out, "What shall we do?" And Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins." Folks, that's all that we ask that you do. Acts 2, verse 38. You believe, repent, and be baptized, Peter says. Maybe you're an erring Christian and you've stopped. Folks, you can't win if you've stopped. Can't sit on the sideline. You need to repent and ask God to forgive you and get back in the race. You know that? Maybe you need to do that today. If you confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive those sins. 1 John 1, verse 9. Do you need to respond to this invitation? Folks, there's a reward one day. Don't miss the reward. It's available for all. Won't you come as we stand and sing?